Hello and welcome to Soberish, the I Still Have a Chest Infection podcast. I still have a chest infection because it's literally 12 hours from the last episode of Soberish that I recorded super late. But look, this one's going to be on time because I can't leave my house and go on dates or do anything because I have a chest infection. Anyway, guess who's back?
Hey guys, it's Water Baby.
Water Baby's back. I talk about you a lot. And not everyone knows who you are. And so some people just think I call one of my friends Water Baby because I'm weird about saying your real name because I'm afraid I'm going to say it on the podcast. And so I'm just like, yeah. And then I happen to say something to Water Baby and like an hour later and people are like, what?
Well, you can say my name actually if you want. It's been creeped out enough.
Has it?
Yeah. I'm just like, I give in.
All right. You want to say your name?
My name's Lola.
Her name's Lola. Yeah, that's an interesting thing with YouTube and weirdos. Do you deal with many weirdos?
Oh my God, so many weirdos. Actually, it's funny you mentioned that. I recently had to block a bunch of people that I wasn't like, you know, because I have Facebook, I've got Instagram, and I'm very like adverse to technology and social media. So I try to check up on it as much as possible. And I checked Facebook the other day after like months, and there's this guy who's been telling people that we're married. Yeah, like been posting, oh, I can't wait to see you tonight, hun. I'll be late. I'll be bringing dinner. And I'm just
what the fuck?
Yeah. So like people like that. The last live, I think I did get a marriage proposal and it was serious. At first I laughed because I thought it was, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he was, I'm dead serious. And then, yeah, I get weirdos. I get lots of weirdos.
Yeah. I get a few. I get way less than you would think I get considering the content that I put out. I'm actually pretty lucky, I think. I do get a lot of, I hit 10K on Instagram.
Oh, awesome.
And I was like, well, how'd I get 500 in a day? And I think it's just because I was going hard on Tinder. So I do get a ton of follows from people that don't know my art or my spiritual work at all. They're just like, maybe this bitch will answer me here. And it's like, no, I won't. That's the creepiest thing to me. It's not a shoot your shot. It's like, yeah, I saw you.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't match. I saw you though. You know what I mean? Do you get it? Find a rejection complex. More people need a Jessery level rejection complex. God, I can't fucking imagine. Anyway.
It's like, I know your face. I know your face. Your face has not changed.
Do you think maybe being weird is going to help it? I'm just playing with pizza crust here. Listen to me talking like I'm above these dudes on Tinder. I'm playing with pizza crust. Anyway. poor Brian. I just did an episode last night. I did an energy update. I did an energy update yesterday. It was a couple things that I've held you hostage here now for 2 hours, I think, talking your face off.
Oh, it's all good.
And but a couple things I didn't get into were I got a download about the next 4 months, November to February, being the inverse of April to September, even though I think that's a different amount of months. But for everything we lost from April to September, we are gaining. Like April to September, credits rolling on the old movie.
I just from a planetary aspect shift, I haven't checked on January and February, but for November and December, I would totally agree with that.
Hell yeah.
Just based off of what I know, just with the shifts that I'm noticing, like Neptune's going direct. Jupiter's also going into Cap. I'm so excited for Jupiter going into Capricorn. And yes, if you study Vedic, it's going into Sag. Either way, if you're a Cap in Tropic, you're more likely than not a Sag in Vedic. So either way, you're still going to get affected. When Jupiter moves signs, it's the planet of blessings. It's the planet of gifts.
Right.
So everyone's going to get a little something. Just depends on where Capricorn sits in your chart, right? And if Vedic or Sag sits in your chart. So I'm excited for that because I feel like a lot of people will get a lot of stuff back. And the eclipse that we have at the end of December is also in Capricorn. Excuse me. My throat chakra is not happy either. and anytime planets go direct with Neptune and things like that, you get more momentum of energy kind of coming in. So just based off of those alone, I already know that a lot of people are going to come into a lot of opportunities and a lot of blessings. So I'm excited.
I love it. So it's going into Capricorn.
Yeah.
And it's been in Sagittarius.
Yeah. Entropic. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I like how you got to qualify that.
Well, you know, you get the questions. And like, and Vedic is interesting to study, but, and I know you and I have talked about this behind closed doors.
Yeah.
It's just another way of classifying energy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything bleeds into each other anyway. And like I said, it's like, even if you go with Vedic, more likely than not, that same sign will be affected. You're just, it's just a different classification of the sign.
Right.
Yeah.
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 That makes sense. All the, I was still identifying as an Aquarius, but Jupiter, when it went into, it would have had been Scorpio, I guess. I swear to God it was Sagittarius, but Sagittarius is what it's in right now, right?
Yeah.
What it had to have been Scorpio was just like, you're going to get famous this year. You're going to get famous this year. And it was the year that my This Is Not Happening came out.
Yeah.
But I was just like, who else is this for? Do you ever read your horoscope and you're like, what about all the other Aquariuses, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what's funny, it wasn't even my sign. I'm just like reaching for something to make. Oh, hold on.
Oh.
Have you ever had these?
No.
A See, fan sent you. Me these. A fucking game changer.
What flavor is that?
I don't know. It's thieves oil. It's a, it
smells like lemon.
Yeah, it's essential oils. But I couldn't even talk. I did one reading and was like, oh, I'm gonna have to cancel the rest of the readings yesterday. And then that came in the mail, just like perfect timing.
Oh, I like them. Usually that stuff makes me cough.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm like, I'm that weird person. No cough drops that make me cough.
We might not be able to eat them while we do the podcast. I'll let you know if I can hear
it. Oh, shit. Sorry.
No, I need one really bad, but I'm like, actually, I'm sure they don't care. They listen to this. They can do. It was Teresa Thompson at T-Rocks in Arizona. I can't. I'm blind.
You want me to try to read it? My
Quartzsite? Is that a place?
Oh, yeah. Quartzsite. I think Quartzsite. I've actually driven past there before.
Yeah.
She's I think got, it's on the way to Sedona.
Yeah. Out of I think LA. So, too. Yeah. On 110 or something. So if you're in Arizona, go buy rocks from her. I'm going to do that too. It's funny. Someone tried to pressure me into hawking their fucking t-shirts on Instagram. And I'm really weird. Like I don't, I, like this, this podcast is independent and I refuse to put it on a network because I hate ads so much. Mm-hmm. And I'm really weird about product stuff. I will sell the shit out of your product if I'm into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the pattern should give me some money. I got, I don't know how many people on the fucking pattern, gelatin, those fucking people should give me some shit. whoever makes Calm magnesium powder should definitely, give me some type of sponsorship because I am, you are all magnesium deficient and don't take magnesium pills, take the powder, game changer.
It's so funny because that's actually what I use.
Really?
Yeah, I do use that. Yeah.
I think it has something to do with ascension, to be honest. I think it helps with a lot of ascension symptoms. It helps with muscle stuff. It fixes so many things for me. It's ridiculous.
Well, and it's funny because Stephen Libby, Starborn Messenger, you guys can find him on YouTube. Him and I were having a conversation about this with chakras and just glands, like just the glandular system. It's like, if you take a look at all the different like glands, adrenal glands, lymphatic system, everything, all of those are connected to your chakras in some way, shape, or form. And if you just take what's needed to keep those healthy, which most of them require magnesium,
right,
your chakras will be very happy for the most part. And then iodine for like a penile and other things. But yeah, magnesium covers most of them.
Yeah. It's, God, I don't even remember. I get a lot of like medical intuitive stuff. And when I was going through my awakening, it was like I spent a year on each thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm any of those things, but I think my calling, my sacred calling, as the pattern would call it, is I'm a gatherer. I'm like a gatherer of all of these light workers and especially ones that are like waking up. And I like it because they all hate it, you know? They're all very reluctant and it's, we're all reluctant together. Like I'm on this podcast, like I can't believe I'm talking about fucking crystals. And then, you know, there's like these people like waking up and they're like, I'm an ancient witch and I'm a, you know, I talk to dragons, you know? but during that time, I got trained in a lot of things by the aliens, I think just so that I could assist the actual medical intuitives, right, the actual right. shaman, the actual whatever's there coming up. I'm assuming, I don't know. But for the last year, it was all about natural healing. And I still have a little bit of that gift. It's like, you know, you have gifts that like aren't your gifts, but yeah. you have a little bit of an access to it. And so I do get like medical intuitive hits. And I was pregnant and got restless leg syndrome, which I've had on and off throughout my life. And why did I have that fucking magnesium? I had bought magnesium oil because somebody told me it would get rid of morning sickness.
Okay.
And it did not. And I just had it in my house though. And I was, it was like the middle of the night and I couldn't sleep because I had restless leg syndrome and something told me, rub that oil on your legs. And I got up and I rubbed that oil on my legs and it instantly went away.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I, but that oil makes my skin crawl. And so I got the powder and then I could not believe how many things it fixes. And to this day, I've had a million different things and I'm like, magnesium powder and it fixes it. So see, this is why Calm should sponsor me, but I don't want to sell your t-shirts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
I don't think they're that funny. And so this fucking person, this is a great example of the kind of energy that we're coming out of. This fan, I guess, allegedly, I don't know, couldn't be much of a fan if they didn't understand the things that were happening in my life when they decided to be a dick bag about this. But I think it was just somebody who has a small business and thought they were going to use me and my following, which is, I just hit 10,000. Nobody yeah. gives a fuck about what products I use, right? But he offered to make a graphic for Alien School. And I'm really weird. Like Tim Dillon gets all his videos made for free. He gets all these like fan art and everything else. I'm really weird asking people for stuff. I have a really hard time yeah. not paying people for stuff. And I'm afraid if I ask them for something and I don't like it, like, you know, they're going to be upset with me. And you know, if yeah. it's not what I'm looking for, but anyways, this guy like made me a graphic for Alien School without me asking. He sent several. And so I was like, I like this one. And then I used it and I was kind of using it to be nice. It wasn't my favorite thing in the world, but yeah. I was like, you know, it seems kind of basic. And I was like, but this is, cool, whatever. I also had had t-shirts made. I had had Jessery t-shirts made a year and a half before that. And I have a really hard time selling things.
Yeah.
And I hated them so much. I tried to sell them at one show and then I threw $700 worth of t-shirts into a trash can.
Oh shit.
At the airport. Now, I understand that that's wasteful and probably homeless people could have worn them. They had a slutty fucking mermaid on the front of them or something. So I didn't feel like I could donate them anywhere. They said grape fetish, you know? I just like, they needed to go.
Yeah.
But anyway, I chucked them in the trash can because I'm really weird about stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a really long, unnecessary story. But so the guy made the Alien School thing and then immediately was like, hey, can I send you some merch? And like, you post some pictures of it. And this is an area where I should have said, no, thank you. I'm not comfortable. But up until this last couple of months, I seem like someone who doesn't take anyone's shit when in reality, I am way ready to take your shit. I am actually have a very hard time having people be mad at me.
Yeah.
And this is before I knew I was codependent. And so I didn't know this really about myself, but that I am a huge people pleaser. And so I didn't stand up for myself because I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I didn't want to be like, I don't really think your shirts are not like my brand, you know?
Yeah.
They were like fine, but they're like jokes and the jokes are pretty lame.
It wasn't you. Yeah, it wasn't aligned with you. Yeah.
And so I didn't really want to be associated with it. I'm totally down. Like, Ramin Nazer, made the artwork.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
I like that. That's
the
cool.
artwork for yeah. the Jessereed. This represents the big ball of light. This represents an owl, like a dead owl, like carried around for 2 weeks, which is a thing. And I asked him to design this for me. I paid him to design this for me. And I'm proud as fuck of these t-shirts, yeah. right? So I can sell the fuck out of them. Cause I'm like, people want this because this yeah. is great and I'm into it. But anyway, so the guy sends me some stuff. It's like ill-fitting. I do put it up on my story. I'm really uncomfortable with it. And then something I noticed, at this point I have 7,000 followers or something, and I noticed that every single person that I click on, because I have conversations with people and I don't remember or whatever, because my memory, 5D memory sucks. I click on their page and they're all followed by this t-shirt company.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, oh, you're just using me. And I don't even want, you're just backing me. Like, you're taking advantage of the fact that I'm not standing up for myself and you're using me.
Yeah.
And so, but still I don't stand up for myself. I'm like, I'll just do what they want and then be done with it. And then it's more stuff. It's like, can you tell them about a coupon code and we'll put this on your website, geez, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you're like trying to back me into some type of deal, but I don't want to do this deal.
Yeah.
I don't want to do any deals. I don't want to sell anything. I made t-shirts because people are constantly asking me for merch, but this is like my merch. That has my fucking name on it. People want to wear something that's my brand, you know, but I didn't, it took me, I'm been in fucking stand up for 10 years. This is my first shirt that I didn't chuck in the trash. So anyway, then they send me one shirt and it doesn't fit. And then they send me another one. And then I'm in the middle of this breakup. And I'm in excruciating emotional pain, I'm barely staying above water. I just started doing readings after 2 months of paying my rent on my mother's credit card. You know, my shit's fucked up. Anyone who actually listens to my podcast knows that I've just like unearthed all this trauma. I'm in a ton of pain. You know, I'm kind of getting through it. And my uncle died and my mom was gone. So now I'm also like working 40 hours a week doing readings and also trying to take care of two kids. And he asked me about to pitch he sees that I get these shirts made with Ramin.
Yeah.
And is like, I actually was making you shirts. like I didn't ask you to do that. You know, I'm a huge fan of Ramin. Like I sought him out. I actually stalked him like a weirdo for a while before he became friends. I don't know if you're familiar with that thing that I do, but I didn't ask this dude to make me t-shirts, but once again, he's like pushing my boundaries and I'm not standing up for myself. And so it took everything in me to be like, hey, I'm really weird about merch. So I'm probably not going to want to do this.
Yeah.
And I hope that that's okay. And so then he was like, I'll just send them to you. And then he sends me them to me and it's like my uncle died that day and my mom's gone and I'm just trying to do readings. I think I had house guests. There was all this shit happening. But like overall, I spent every waking moment in my bedroom crying over Aaron. You know what I mean? I'm fucking sad.
Yeah.
And the shirts were really bad. They were so bad that I thought he was fucking with me. You know what I mean? I was like, they were just really bad. Like if you can't tell the difference between some like very basic graphic that you copied off of the internet and probably don't even own the rights to, some very basic jokes that are like, you know, not good. I don't know. Like, I don't want to have to tell you that though. Like I'm nice. I'm not a dick.
Yeah.
You really have to step on my feet to make me, you know, I'll roast my friends, but like, I don't like to be mean. Like, don't put me in the position to be mean. So I looked at it and I was just sad that day and was just like, I don't feel like dealing with this. And you know, I just had a lot going on. And then I forgot about it because, you know, I post a lot of Instagram stories. So if we're messaging on Instagram, the shit's buried in 5 minutes because I also am incapable. It's really hard for me to leave people in the folder where I don't have to talk to them. It's really hard for me to leave people on read. So, you know, every single fucking follower, most of my followers, I, you know, their reaction, their laugh reaction shows up. So I just fucking forget about it. Anyway. Then I get a scathing message from them that says, you know, you should do what you committed to do. Cause there was still one more picture of a shirt that they wanted me to post.
But there was like no contract or anything like that.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. And it was all you backing me into a court. You sent me shirts I didn't fucking want. You acted like it was a gift. And then you wanted me to do all this extra shit and put a promo code and stuff. And I didn't feel comfortable doing it. And I should have just said, I don't feel comfortable doing it. But I was trying to be nice. And then you followed everyone that follows me, which makes me a little bit uncomfortable. It feels a little predatory, and I didn't say anything. But then, you know, they wanted me to post a picture of me in the shirt. They sent shirts for my kids. I posted it because my kids aren't crying in their fucking bed all day. They've taken a shower in the last 10 days. They're not wearing, you know, there's a reason I haven't been in my fucking story.
Yeah.
And I think I might have, like, now I'm like, oh, what was I posting stories? But like, I wasn't in the fucking space.
Yeah.
And I don't have to be in the space. I don't owe you shit, dude. Right.
Exactly.
I don't owe you shit. You're using me. And I see it for what it is. You know, you're trying to, you think I'm famous. I'm fucking not. I'm more famous than your average person, I guess. But like, I have a very specific fan base that is, has a much darker sense of humor than like, kids are a pain in the ass, right? You know, like it just wasn't. Anyway, so the shirts were really bad. I didn't say anything. And then they sent me some scathing thing, including good luck with readings. It's really expensive in LA. Some passive aggressive thing. You can send our shirts back. It's like, yeah, fucking, I didn't want them in the first place. But now thank you for also making me pay for shipping.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was like, hey, I'm sorry. This came in right when my nanny, and then I put in parentheses, mom was out of town. The reason that I specified nanny was so that you understood that it was the person who takes care of my kids when I'm working.
Yeah.
And then specified it was my mom so that it didn't sound like I was a person who could afford a nanny. Right. And then, you know, I make excuses when I should have just said your shirts are trash. Did you need me to tell you that your shirts were trash?
Yeah.
You know? Then some other catty stuff and then says, oh, and then by the way, we were just trying to do something nice for you, help you make money. You're not going to help me make money giving 5% of awful t-shirts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I own these fucking t-shirts. I charge $20 for them. It's not changing my fucking life, you know?
Yeah.
They said, and by the way, you might not ever want to mention to anyone outside of LA that you have a nanny, especially a couple who raises their 5 kids without. And I'm like, a couple.
What?
A couple is a key word. You hear me talk about their fucking father? No, because I have no fucking idea. He's nowhere. Just me and my mom helping me, who happens to not be in town. Make up your mind. Do you think I'm broke or do you think I'm a fucking millionaire? I'm not what you think I am.
Well, and clearly they just didn't read the actual email.
Right. Get fucked. I honestly would like to tell you the name of the place right now so y'all could go... block them because they're following you. So I think what he did was he was like, he went and followed all of them so that when I promoted them, you know, whatever, which is like, fine, you're ambitious. Don't get mad at me because you invaded my boundaries. I let you invade my boundaries and then it didn't work out and you immediately showed yourself for who you were.
Yeah.
Because then because they were like, that's too long to respond. And I'm like, do you have any idea how much shit I have on my plate? And I thought you were a fan of mine. You're clearly not a fan of mine. Because if you follow either one of my podcasts, this was like right during the codependency revelation. This is like, I went on Dr. Drew and was like, couldn't even hold my shit together. Because I was so raw, like emotionally raw. Insane. Like the most insane time to come at me crazy. And I was like, oh, you don't listen to my podcast. What the fuck are you doing?
Well, and it sounds very vampiristic, like very narcissistic. Because like you were flashing me back to like, it took me years to learn this. And maybe I talked about this on the other episode, on the other podcast. Maybe I didn't. I don't remember. I have terrible memory too. I forget what I say to people.
Yeah, there's no memory anymore.
Where it took me years to realize it's like anytime I would do that where I'd let people invade my space or cross those boundaries and then I would say no or be like, okay, no, enough, or I'm not doing this, they'd freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like it was that narcissistic, vampiric relationship versus like a normal, healthy person who'd be like, oh, okay, my bad.
You right.
Know? Yeah. And not lose their shit like everything's crumbling before them.
Yeah, because they had manipulated to get there in the first place. I'm really impressed with how quiet you're keeping that lozenge in your mouth.
I'm trying so hard. Can you
not do it?
I'm trying to be so conscious of it.
You're killing it. I'm like, okay, maybe I can do it. And I'm immediately like clank, 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 clank. I think dentures probably makes it, or implants, whatever the fuck this thing in my mouth is. Yeah, because they manipulated to get it there in the first place. They didn't said, hey, we followed all your followers. You know, they're presenting it to me like it's an opportunity.
Yeah, it's like you're so lucky to have us.
Yeah.
Because we are so special.
We would like to send you free shirts, is what they said. And I was like, okay, that's nice. I didn't really, it's hard for me to take things from people.
Yeah.
I've had several people recently be like, can I tip you? And I'm like, everything in me wants to be like, no. You know, you could tip me ahead of time, but like if you've asked me about it, I want to say no. I had somebody else that was like, wanted to make an emergency appointment and I was trying to make it work. And then they were like, actually, I'm okay. Can I pay for your time anyway? And I'm like, I want to say no. I'm going to say yes, but like also like don't feel obligated at all. But like I'm trying to allow a more even energy exchange because I keep getting involved in these vampire things because I want to do everything for myself and I don't want to help anybody. And I have to say, since I started doing readings for money, obviously the money helps me, but the energy exchange is so much better than when I was just in Instagram Messenger all day answering people's questions and life coaching people. Oh, I was exhausted. Yeah. And this is so much better because it's like they feel better talking to me. You know what I mean? I think I do still want this, like the YouTube channel. The Alien School YouTube channel is up. There was already an Alien School YouTube channel. With 4 old videos, I shall crush them like the defunct Soberish Instagram. But,
well, it is interesting when you talk about the energy exchange, right? Because people ask me if I do personals. Sorry, guys, I don't do personals. Unless I'm guided to do one in the moment, and it's usually with someone I know. And I've done a couple for strangers, like when I got through the whole New Orleans debacle and trying to like escape the city back to Los Angeles. I was sitting in the airport, happy to be in the airport, happy to have a flight to wait for. And there's a woman sitting next to me. You strike up conversations. I don't know if she still watches my channel, but she got, you know, when I told her what I do, she got like really excited. And I could tell she was kind of in a transition. It was like, oh, I feel like she needs a reading, right? And it was really nice interacting with her. But then like, you know, like you were doing, right? It's like, oh, the money thing makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so when I'm in that position now, I just tell them, I accept donations, whatever you feel comfortable with. Right.
Yeah.
Especially because I don't offer personals like you do, which I think is awesome that you do that. Yeah.
I don't know how long I'll be able to do it, but for now it is a great career for me in my ascension, I think, where leaving the house is hard.
Yeah.
And it's nice to just be in my own space. And I would love to do Skype just because I would love to be showing them the cards, the art on the cards and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This would require me to take my hair out of that ponytail. And I don't know that I'm ready to commit to that yet. But that type of boundary issue is one of the things that's been a huge theme for me. It's been a huge theme for a lot of people. And then also boundaries with people that you love and care about a lot, but they are just, even if they're not overtly crossing your boundaries, if they are energetically crossing your boundaries. Have you been, can relate to some of that?
Oh yeah. Especially recently, because a lot of people who watch my channel know I've been going through a lot of transformative stuff. And so I've really been needing a lot of my space. I can just tell I get very easily agitated recently when I feel another person's energy or like when I'm getting contacted. And it's not that they're contacting me excessively. I just need that space.
Yeah.
Right. And so putting up those boundaries with people and just saying like, I can't, or just even just not responding. Right. Like even just not responding, which the old me, like even 6 months ago, a year ago, would have a really hard time doing. I always felt compulsive, like a compulsive need to answer every single message.
Yes.
No matter what. And then I realized even if the conversation's naturally ending, it's like, but they still texted me. I have to text them back.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm glad to not be in that anymore. But we are in a time, I think, where a lot of people are having to push people out, even if, like you said, even if you have a lot of love for them and you care about them, if your boundaries are getting crossed on, it's really important right now to just say no or just push back and be like, claiming your space, I guess, is like the best way to say that.
Yeah.
Claiming your space. Yeah.
The inability to leave people on read is has been a huge theme for me. I gotta keep an eye on that battery. Has been a huge theme for me because I take it. I'm afraid of people being mad at me. And so I take it personally, not personally like, what the fuck, you didn't left me on red, but like I get anxious, right?
Yeah.
And so like I can't do that for other people. And I would end up in conversations when I just wasn't, I had people in front of me, or I wasn't in the place to be in a conversation, or didn't feel like being in that conversation, but I would be worried about what they wanted. And now I've gotten a lot better at, I acknowledge every message for the most part. That folder of people I've never actually connected with is over it. I'll go through it like once or twice a week or something, but yeah, it's a lot. And some of them I don't, you know, if they're just like reacting to my story, I don't click on it just because I like can't find my friends in my inbox. But I think more than any other person who has, I still try to stay personally connected to most fans. And it had over the summer when I was very raw and like going through a lot of stuff, I was like, I can't. And I really kind of shut down. And now I've gotten very good at like, I'll heart emoji it. You'll know that I want to let you know that like, I heard you. I liked what you said. I acknowledged it. I can't talk right now, but I want you to know, like, I heard you. And then really it has been a huge thing for me to like, let that be it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And part of that really is having the readings as an option, is just knowing that they have a way to reach me if they really need to reach me. I do like the quickie version of the reading, and, you know, because a lot of readings end up being us just talking shit, like us just talking shop. At some point, I'm like, did you want a reading? And they're like, no, I just wanted to run this stuff by you. And, you know, and I love, it's a lot of connecting with like Soul Tribe and stuff, yeah, which is great. But this is actually not an infomercial for my personal readings, although it's starting to feel like it. I mean, I do have some openings this week, but it's all connected to the boundary stuff. Because this was like a big mental block for me, which is charging money for anything spiritual. And Karen Rontowski pointed out to me like how insane. She's like, it's what your gift is, though. Like, it's bananas that like constantly preaching that people need to find what makes their heart sing and go do it for a living. Why would you not get paid for that? Like, why, right, why are you the exception to that? And I'm like, I don't know. Cause I talk shit about Teal Swan. I don't, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Who, me, become the thing I talk shit about? What?
Well, and even with starting Vimeo, cause I just recently started Vimeo, and I know most readers start Vimeo like pretty much out of the gate when they start their channel.
I noticed
that. And I never really vibed with doing extended. So it just wasn't like my vibe. No shade to anybody who does them. Do you? Always do you. But I did Patreon and it was like, how do I price this? And I was working through that same block, that same issue. And I was like, okay, I can do that. I dealt with that. And then people started asking me for single purchase because they didn't want to, you know, look at all the signs or whatever. And I was like, oh shit, individual prices per video. And I was like, oh my God, I have to work through this block, like milestone, milestone, milestone. But yeah, a year ago, I wouldn't have been able to do the Vimeo page because I wouldn't have been able to deal with the anxiety of pricing my stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually, you were a big part of me wrapping my mind around it because I was like, I was signed up for your Patreon. I was like, hell yeah. All right. And I like didn't, I've bought extended, I've gone to Vimeo and gotten extended readings. And I also paid a therapist every week, and there's no shade to the therapist, but we probably weren't a great fit. But I got a lot out of it, you know? I got a lot out of it, and I had no problem paying for it because I was getting a lot out of it. Anyway, yeah, it was through Read It, like your Patreon, that I was like, yeah, this is fucking dumb. Like, why would I?
Like, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's a service, you know? And I had this conversation with Aaron where he was like, because Tim Dillon had said on our podcast that, you know, comedy is like a clean money because you're just, people are paying you to make them laugh.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're debating the spiritual, getting paid to do spiritual things. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I have issues with the church telling you that you have to pay them money or else you're going to go to hell.
Yeah.
I do kind of have issue with Teal Swan charging people on Social Security $1,000 for a painting that's going to change the vibration of the room. Try not to throw shade there, but feel snake oilish, you know?
Oh, you can always buy a curtain.
Yeah, I mean, clear your trauma. Yeah. I don't know. There's many methods. Lots of them don't cost $1,000. I do have issue with readers that tell you you have to keep coming back to them, you know?
Oh my God, yes.
I do have issue with any spiritual, I've been on this leader versus guru thing, you know? I'm shy away from every word, so I end up cluttering everything up I say with a bunch of disclaimers. But someone said in the group, a leader leads the way and a guru is the way. And I like that. I don't want to be anybody's fucking guru. I don't want to create a dependency on me. Yeah. I think if you get one reading from me and it connects the dots and my favorite readings are confirmations. Like, honestly, every time I get anything that's like fortune teller-ish, I'm like, listen, if this doesn't click to what you're already thinking or feeling, put a pin in it and, you know, don't make this happen.
Yeah. I could don't hold miss on it. To it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I remember how I got on that. Boundaries. Boundaries. Boundaries have been a big thing. Old energy, things we're doing out of guilt, connections we're staying in, out of obligation. I wanted to talk to you about lightworker stuff.
Sure, let's do it.
Another download I got. So I got that 4 months of good shit coming into our life, like the new movie starting. But that was connected to this wave shit I'm getting. So the original message I got in 2000, when I didn't really understand energy at all, was that I would gather a tribe of, God, I don't remember how they said it back then because I've changed the language, but it was gather a tribe of higher dimensional beings, whatever, that are here, like it was an army that was here to bring about the new age, and that I was just the like coordinator, which is interesting because that's what I do at Big Sky Comedy Festival, which is like, these are all the leaders. I'm just the the point person or whatever.
Yeah.
And is a great gift of mine because of that. Mercury and Aquarius, I assume.
I was going to say, is your life lesson 4? Do you have a 4?
I think so.
Okay. Because that's like the manager. Okay. That's like the vibration of the coordinator.
I'm not positive. I know I have a 4 somewhere and I wanted everything to be 9, you know? And so I was like, 4. That might be it though.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead. I was like, oh, this was,
we're going to have to look into that. Yeah. So it is very Aquarius. It is put me on top of the million things that need to be done. And I can keep all of that in my mind and figure out where all the dots connect and stuff. But if you put me onto any type of fine point, it's fucked. Like, yeah. I'm not good with fine details. I'm good with very big picture. And I'm also very good at jumping off of cliffs without any, I can make very fast decisions. I can follow my intuition. I can lead in the darkness. I can be the weird one. And I can articulate concepts that aren't necessarily, haven't been articulated before, right, or whatever.
Like new, out of the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all things that I really identified as Aquarius traits. And there is obviously a lot of Aquarius there. And then she said I had a lot of like Uranus influence, heavy influence in my chart. But then she described, this is Elise Edwards did my karmic astrology chart. And she talked about, it's really that Pisces and Virgo, where these two like very earth and very putting things in compartments meets this sun and moon in the fucking... but anyway, I go on so many tangents. I'm the worst.
No, you're fine. You're good.
I, gathering a group of, God, it's so funny. Now, I used to say I have a joke where I say it's a cops, but now I use all this different language. But anyway, gathering a group of like gods from other places that have implanted themselves on Earth, gathering them so that we could then put the new world into effect, shift the ages. Now, I'll tell you what I thought that was going to look like, and it was fucking none of this. I know that for sure.
It's never what we think, right?
No.
And then as it happens, it's like, oh, this actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last couple of years have been interesting because I fought most of the process. I had no idea the reason that this is not happening was happening was because I thought I was going to get to go be a famous comedian. And then the further things go, because then timelines, the first time timelines come into focus for me, I'm on stage and this is not happening. That's because I was being like, I was like a dormant light worker who, you know, I had like magic powers, but I just used them for my own shit. I woke up maybe 5 people a year, just enough to like keep my union membership, I guess. And then that's all that would come around. In 2012, there was a big shift. I like activated and, I had a secret Facebook group called Ascension 2012. And like, you know, I put everybody in there because there was 20 people probably that year that I like was assisting or whatever. And then everybody went and lived their life. And for years and years, I was just living my fucking life. And I was like, I guess this is the new world. Pretty lame if you ask me. And then, anyway, I get like reactivated in 2017 And it takes me a while to realize what's happening. And now that I'm here, and in July really was the showdown where they were like, why do you think you got on television? Like, why do you think we did any of this? What do you think? MEFP weirdly attracts a very specific group of people to you. It's time to work, you know? Yeah. And then, so for the last couple of months, we're all in this clearing. And then the downloads that I got for the last couple of weeks are like, starting in February, y'all got to go to work. And tribe, which was the language that they used in 2000, is just wave.
Yeah.
Where in my head, the imagery is that we are all gathering into separate like tribes, but it's actually just waves. And that the waves are transmuting different energy. They're doing different things. And then after that wave wakes up, completely does their work, transmutes the energy that they were responsible for transmuting. They then leave clues, seeds, they plant seeds, they do things to wake up the wave behind them. And the two downloads that I got recently are, there is a wave kind of with ours, you know, that's like waking up right now. They're waking up much faster. I think they're the ones going to, a lot of them are in those like 30-day twin flame things.
Yeah.
But that soon by 2021, people will shift and they'll have no idea that they shifted. Like they're just going to be in the new
world. They're just going to, just exist in it.
Yeah. They're just going to exist in it because we will have consciously anchored it onto the planet. And there are tons of examples of that already happening. I talk about like bros. you can have a conversation with just a bro, like a complete dipshit who's not awake in the slightest about the energy of a room.
Yeah.
And they know what you're talking about.
Well, and I've noticed it in the dating world as well, which has also been very fascinating.
Yeah. Speaking of transmuting energy.
Because it's like, I've been dating for, God, too long. You know, through the course of my adulthood.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm flashing back to so many things. As you were talking, I was getting flashes of,
I
like,
want you
my
to
past.
Talk for a while, so go for
okay.
it.
Okay. But as far as like dating is concerned, it's like, yeah, no one talked about this kind of stuff like 10 years ago.
Right.
Right. Like nobody talked about this stuff. And I would say just in the last like year of being out on the dating scene on and off, it's like every person I meet, they're like, well, it's cool what you do, but like, they don't, you know, they don't understand like the extreme of what I do. Cause I know I'm more on the extreme spectrum.
Right.
But then they're like, I go over to their place and they have like all the like chakra stuff. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, I get energy. I understand energy and cosmic stuff. And it's like, what?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It just has already shifted so much.
Yeah. It's just accepted now. It's very, very interesting. Even within my own family, I will bring up my family a little bit. And as I've said here on the podcast before, it's like, it's always been kind of like the secret, right, of my family. Like we talk about it, we don't talk about it. We know about it, we don't acknowledge it.
Right.
And after I started the channel, like I said, like they were kind of interested, not interested. And then I noticed little things they were saying. Like when I would start bringing up manifestation, my cousin's like, oh yeah, no, I know about manifestation, law of attraction, right? And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, when did this happen? When did that happen?
Right.
Yeah. So it is interesting to see that big shift as just becoming the norm and the new norm. And when you were mentioning 2012, I will flash back to that time in my life. That was a crazy time in my life where I think I actually had my very first ascension and just had no idea what it was.
Really?
Yeah. Because, I mean, I'd always had abilities, but at that point, there was a lot of transitions in my life. I was graduating from UCI from undergrad. I didn't have a job. I was also the first, like, year into my very narcissistic, traumatic relationship.
Oh, shit.
So I was trying to balance all of that. And so I was practically living with him because I was, you know, I was being that codependent in that relationship. So I had to be there all the time. And then I started seeing things, like seeing different beings and things like that, getting different visions. And it was just a lot more amplified than what I was used to. And so I thought, maybe it's just because I'm in a transition. And then all of a sudden I had these immense headaches, like immense. And like I had to lay down, I couldn't function. And I was worried that it was something medically wrong with me. Cause at the time, yes, I had abilities and I was aware of the esoteric to some extent, but not in the way of ascensions like the way I am now, like not even close. And it was so bad. I like went to the hospital and they ran all these tests on me. Like the whole, what are those things? The scan?
The MRI?
Yes, thank you. I was like, it's not EKG, that's the heart. The scans, I even had a spinal tap, like all kinds of things. And they're like, there's nothing wrong with you. It was like, there must be. And it's like, oh, that was totally an ascension. And I just didn't realize it. Yeah. So it's fascinating.
so many people end up in the runaround with the medical community trying to get their ascension diagnosed. And it's like, nah, dog, this is just what it's like.
Yeah, exactly. Or for years I had all these throat chakra issues, which at the time I thought were respiratory issues. I can't tell you how many different pulmonologists, ENT doctors I've seen, and they're like, you're normal. It's like, I can't breathe. There's no way I'm normal.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that connected to you picking up on other people's stuff or you not speaking your own truth?
I think all the above.
Holy shit.
All the above, for sure. And it's interesting too, because it would come in phases and there was no rhyme or reason to it. And now that I know that I do have such a sensitive throat chakra, that every time Mercury retrograde was happening, that's when it was really bad. It took me years to figure that out.
Oh, wow. I'm really glad that I saw you talk about it on your videos before I started doing readings, because I'm like, would I have known? I did know that the throat chakra can get weird, like your own throat chakra can get weird when you need to speak your truth. Like I definitely had my throat chakra, like had noticed a correlation between the two. But I don't know if I would have connected. I guess my guides would have eventually said something, but I don't know if I would have connected, because my voice goes hoarse.
Yeah.
When I'm talking to someone that it is a throat chakra issue. It sounds very similar to what it sounds like right now. And, but I had seen it happen to you and I was like, that's fucking cool. I think that that's cool. And then by like my third reading, I was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And once we figure out what the thing is, it stops.
Yeah.
Like in the reading when I'm like, blah, 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 we get to it and then it stops. It goes back to normal. But I think I would have been like, is this a chest infection?
Oh, yeah. I was like, I honestly thought I was going to die young from like a respiratory issue that was going to be undiscovered. That's
what
I thought for the longest time.
Yeah.
Because it would get so bad, I would like almost pass out from the severe coughing and
holy
things like
shit.
That. Yeah. And like in the doctor's office, like almost passing out and they're like, no, you're fine.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I think a lot of that back then was also because I was in such a, you know, narcissistic, oppressive, toxic.
Can't speak your truth. Yeah. Right. God. Yeah. Some of the stuff that is really weird. When I first woke up and it was all about the tribe and everything. And I thought that I was waking the tribe up in 2000. It was just a bunch of tweakers that were apparently my homework. You know what I mean? It was just like, I don't know, wake these fucking clucks up. You know, they're all going to go to prison and fall back asleep, but like practice, you know?
Yeah.
It was like cadavers at medical school, but it's just tweakers. And I really didn't. I thought that was it, you know, and I remember being very disappointed in what was sold to me as a cool thing that now is a cool thing. But things that I talked about back then that now are a thing. One was virtual reality therapy, where if we could access people's memories of trauma and change the course of how it happened via virtual reality, which in 2000, we had no idea what virtual reality was.
Right.
I knew it was with light and sound, and so I tried to do it with Winamp. Are you old enough to know what Winamp is?
No, I don't, actually.
Winamp was a thing on old PCs that was like screensavers, basically. You play your music, and then it creates a design.
Oh, okay. I'm flashing back to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You were probably a teenager, but it was like, I would put people in a dark room with Winamp, and then I like found the internet was very young. I found these like theta, beta, omega wave, like hypnosis things. And I couldn't put it together because I was a 23-year-old tweaker in the early aughts, but I like the idea was there.
Yeah.
Another thing that, but this is something they're making this kind of therapy now, you know? Virtual reality therapy, where you deal with your trauma in a different way. Imagination project, which imagination with a Z, because I'm cool, was a nonprofit, which I still think I will start at some point in my life, hopefully soon. But these are the kinds of things where, all right, so if we are privy to the fact that the planet is shifting and we are trying to just create it so that people just live in it, there are a lot of people already doing that. Like somebody already did that with gender. You know, gender is like my favorite example of a construct that was just torn down and rewritten in a couple of years.
Yeah.
And you do still have some fighting, and you do still have just some straight up MAGA hat wearing 3D oblivious people in backwoods areas. But like for the most part, the evolved world that exists on the internet and whatever has moved forward into this thing. And in 5 years, it's not going to be a question. That's a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
For a huge shift like that. And so, there are a lot of people that call and get readings that are, you know, medical professionals that are bringing new medicine. Lots of people in the psychiatric field who are bringing this integrated spirituality and mashup, because I think that was the issue with my therapist, was she wasn't awake, and it's like I can't have a conversation with someone who doesn't understand consciousness.
Yeah,
you know, besides the fact I'm getting like 7 days in this, when you're in this fucking process, it's like I've cleared my trauma, my ancestors' trauma. Like I can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
7 days. We need to do this every single day, or like you need to start doing cards or something.
Yeah. I can't. You know, and therapy is so interesting too. Like I think therapy is a great tool, and I think everyone should try it at least once. But it is like dating a lot too, where it's just like, are we vibing? Are we not vibing?
You really need that chemistry.
Yeah, you really need that. And I did have one therapist that was awake, and that was interesting because we talked about my abilities a little bit, and that helped me tremendously. His name's Ira. He works in LA.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's awesome, actually. He's really interesting.
I might hit him up.
Yeah. Ira Israel. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a ton of awake therapy. I did a reading for someone the other day who woke up because she had an awake therapist who just sneakily woke her up while she was processing her trauma.
Oh, wow.
And this is what we're supposed to do. This is the work. So there's something that I see. We have a Facebook group, and I definitely did it a lot when I first woke up. And that is attempt to evangelize consciousness. And you cannot evangelize consciousness. You cannot, if someone is not ready, everything you say about consciousness is just going to make you sound fucking insane. Yeah. You cannot. And most of the people that like, I feel like I keep playing with this piece of hair, like get back behind the headphones. I like I keep playing with this piece of bang. Like it feels very, like emo. Most of the people in this wave that like I talk to, especially like the get readings and stuff, they're all very reluctant. They've all made fun of people that say stuff like energy and universe. And these are my favorite kind of guests, you know?
Yeah.
I love this reluctant, somebody called me, I think it was Noah Lampert actually, reluctant mystic, which is the best description of me. None of us want to be here, but we're here. We agreed to it at some point. You know what I mean? We agreed to come help this planet in this transition. And we're treating it like it's Monday morning and we don't want to go to work, but here we are. And oh man, that was going to be good. And I lost it. Oh, you can't do it by directly telling people about it.
Oh, it's true. No, you can't. And it, you know, I'm sure every one of us has tried that like at least a couple times.
Yeah.
At least a couple times, because you can't help it, because when it's your truth, it's your truth, right?
Right.
But no, it's so true. And it's like I've had to learn to sit back and kind of gauge and sort of let them bring up the minor stuff.
Yeah.
And you kind of add a little, and then you gauge and you kind of add a little.
Yep.
Yeah. Or you learn to just make total sense of it in another way. Like a big part of my graduate program, which I'm really thankful I ended up taking, was environmental education. And at first I didn't want to take it because I was like, I don't want to be a teacher. Well, lo and behold, look at what I did. The whole class was just the different ways of communicating with people and teaching people to get through to people based off of the way they think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I was like, I was really happy to take that course. It was really, really interesting. But I did realize that where it's like, even if you have the facts, no one's going to hear you unless you can relate it to something that they already have in their core, like everyday life. Like, for example, you know, not to get too into politics, but that's a big reason why a lot of people just stick to what they think, because they don't want to hear anything else outside of what they're already thinking. So if you're trying to bring facts to someone who doesn't really care about facts, it's about what they already know. It's like you just have to either like find a way to get to know them personally or bring out what they're really wounded from, what they're really afraid of, which is why they're holding on to that in the first place. I'm flashing back to an experience I had. So being in grad school, studying the environment, and the you know, election was going on like my very first semester.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was rough. It was very, very stressful. Very, very stressful time. And it was during the holiday break. And I was on vacation with my family, and I was just enjoying my time. And this guy sat next to me, total stranger. We started talking, very, very like anti-environment, anything. And I was like, oh, I need to leave. My initial reaction is like, I need to just leave this conversation. And I was like, no. It's like, no. Like, try it out. Like, just test it out. Like, just try a different tactic and just see what happens. So I just let him talk. I asked him what his story was. Where are you from? What do you like? Oh, why don't you like that? Because he started bitching about all the anti-environment shit, right?
Right.
And I understood it. It's like he was a trucker from Idaho. And so it was like a lot of the California regulations cost him a lot of money. And it just made it to the point where like anything in California was just not going to be profitable for him. So for him, it was down to money. So we started talking about money. And I didn't talk about the environmental part until the very end, where it's like he finally, like, the light bulb went on. Like, that was amazing to me. That blew my mind, where it's like we got into cost and I started talking about the cost of the environment. Like, a lot of people don't know about environmental economics, and that a lot of environmental resources are incredibly valuable and are way more valuable than just making that quick buck in transportation or oils or whatever it is.
Right.
And we got to that conversation, and he's like, I never thought about it like that before. And I started talking about the medical costs of pollution and all that other stuff and making it more 3D than anything else.
Right.
And it was like, it was so amazing to just sit there and be like, oh my God, I just blew this guy's mind. And like the light bulb just went on. But the old me would have been like, well, here are the facts. And instantly no one's going to hear that because it doesn't relate to them. Right. Yeah. Or their fears. When you prey on someone's fears, I mean, I hate to say it like that, but it's the truth. That's how politics works anyway. They just prey on fear, 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 fear. And that's how they get people to do what they want. Well, if you actually go into their fears and give them a real solution to those fears, like some actual healing to that initial fear, that's way more effective than anything else.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, that ability to communicate and also like let people be heard, you know, is very important. And consciousness is tricky in that everybody is on their own journey and you can give them information. This is something that I learned during the 10 years that I was awake that fucking nobody in my environment was. I was very isolated from other light work. It wasn't like now where I can go on YouTube and find light workers that I resonate with and hit them up. You know, it's not what life was like back then.
Yeah.
And there was like one lady I know of that was doing like a blog about energy updates. And other than that, there was very little. But there was a phenomenon where I could talk about consciousness and people would get very excited about it when they were in front of my face, because I do think I've always had an ability to use analogies that people understand or metaphors that they resonate with. And I could pinpoint experiences that they could have and point out that those are mystical and whatever. But then lots of people would tell me, I went back and tried to tell my friends what you said, and I couldn't communicate it. And that's because it wasn't time for them.
Yeah.
They weren't in that space. So not to be like Jesus, but I feel like this is a lot of the stuff that like Jesus was just awake and he was presenting parables that when they were standing in front of him made a lot of sense, but they weren't ready to apply these things to their life. They weren't ready to come back from the dead in 3 days. They weren't ready for magic. They couldn't walk on water. Just not as a value judgment, like Jesus was better than them. Just it wasn't, they weren't there yet.
They weren't
yet.
Ready. Yeah, right. They weren't ready. Yeah.
And I've talked, I am very picky about who I talk to about consciousness. I was until like 3 months ago. Now I almost use it as a defense mechanism. I just come out the door with it. And then when people are like, what? I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. But I'm mostly talking about Tinder right now for some reason. I'm in a weird bubble of this, and my only exchanges with unawake people are Tinder and Hinge. Somebody fall in love with me, please. I'm lonely.
Hinge is very interesting, I have to say, from my experience of online dating.
Yeah.
I've been online dating since I was 18, so over a decade now, like over a decade of seeing the transition of online dating. And I do think people at this point just like abuse it. Like it is like very difficult to find genuine people on there. But yeah, it's just, it's interesting. At least Hinge has taken a little bit of a turn where it's like, you actually have to read.
Yeah.
You do actually have to read shit before you actually start to communicate with someone, which I appreciate.
I feel like people are a little more into the possibility of a relationship on Hinge, but they could be just more into bullshitting.
Oh, yeah.
I just like the height is on there. You know, I'm so tired of trying to figure out how tall someone is on Tinder. And that's not, I'm not against shorter men, but I am tired of going on dates and then realizing that he's 5'6" and watching him realize that I'm 5'11".
Well, you know what's amazing? I'm super short. Like for those who don't know, like I'm 5'2". I'm fun size. I'm very, very short. So height has never been a thing to me. Like I don't care.
Great, man.
Sometimes, but they still lie anyway.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like, I'm 5'2". I don't care. But they lie by a lot. It's not just like an inch. It's like 3 or 4 inches.
Really?
Yeah. Where I'm like, oh, you're not 5'9". You're like, really? You're right here with me.
Interesting. But, yeah. But it hadn't even occurred to me that dudes are lying, but.
Well, and I'm sure it's because a lot of women do care. So I kind of get it. And again, no shade to those men, because I have dated a lot of those men. So no shade to those men. It's just funny. It's just funny the little things that people do with online dating.
Yeah, that is funny. And for somebody called me out on Tinder the other day and was like, I see you didn't make it a year. I'm a fan of your podcast. And I was like, motherfucker. I said I wasn't going to date or have sex for a year. I still haven't, really. I'm just on Tinder and Hinge. But it has been a year in Jessa time. That's the important thing to know, is that I experienced time in dog years, and it's been 6 months, and I just kind of got to the point where I feel like I worked through a lot of the codependency stuff, and a lot of it now I kind of need to practice, I think. And so far it's been great. I've connected with a couple people and then was able to use words and communicate, this is probably, we want two different things. Like I haven't even met the dude yet, and like I feel like he's trying to like push me into sex,
yeah,
or committing to a fuck buddy relationship. And I'm like, I'm open to it, but casual sex is very difficult for me, and I am looking for a relationship. And I don't want, in the past I've been like the cool girl, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, I don't catch feelings, and rah, 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 and that's all my shadow shit that I'm over now.
Yeah,
I am someone that would prefer to be in a relationship. I'm fine alone, but I'm not fine with an undefined, confusing thing where I'm hiding my feelings. That will activate my attachment system. That will activate my codependency. I don't ever want to feel like that again. So now I'm just going to say this up front, and I don't give a fuck if you kick rocks. And this is the best. It's so crazy to learn yourself. These are things I never would have said. I made fun of women that were like, I'm looking for a relationship. I'm like, how fucking weak is she? And it's like, bitch, you've been in a relationship for 40 years. Like, So I have, I don't even know when I'll go on an actual physical date, but this experience of like connecting to people, but not attaching to the outcome, and also not being afraid to be honest. Like in the past, I would like not want to say I'm looking for a relationship, because then that just opens people up for rejection. And it's crazy now, like after this last couple of years, if they're like, I don't want that. I'm like, tight. I don't care. Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye. So anyway, that's my defensive explanation of why I'm on dating apps.
Well, and I know you and I have talked about this with like with liberating like ourselves from a lot of that programming and way of being. And it's like, and I've been like that for most of my life. And so going through this, well, actually, I received liberation codes. That's a whole conversation.
Do you want to have that conversation after this?
Yes, remind me, because I will forget.
All right. I'm writing it on the piece of paper.
Because I forget everything. And with this liberation codes, this is part of why I've been going through this transformation for any of my viewers who are watching and wondering of why I've been in a little bit of a dark energy, been in the underworld cave dealing with shit. It has allowed me to really allow that to disintegrate within myself. So like, and I even told you, it's like, I'm surprising myself with how clear I'm being with like, yeah, this is what I want. This is what I'm looking for. This shit is not okay. And I'm very much okay just putting an end to shit. Like if I have to put an end to shit.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, because like, you know, we were talking about people lie, right? Like people lie on dating apps and whatnot. And I think a lot of people, just a little quick message out there for people who like can't deal with that. When people lie, it has nothing to do with you whatsoever. It has everything to do with them. And I think that people instantly go into, I can't believe I believed them. I think some people struggle with that.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's okay to believe people. It's not your fault if someone lied to you, right?
Yeah, that's a great message.
Yeah. Well, it's something I've been like marinating on because I get that a lot with like my subs and they're like, you know, well, this person lied and I can't believe I believe that. I can't believe I believed that person. Like it's something wrong with them. And it's like, it's not anything with you. There's nothing wrong with you. You didn't do anything wrong. You're supposed to believe people when they talk to you.
Right. Yeah.
Right? You're not supposed to be like, you're lying. You're lying. You're lying to me. That's not the way to be. But anyway, so back to online dating. And being lied to, it's like, then you just call it out. You call it out and you cut it off and that's it. Like,
yeah.
And you're just done with it. The old me would have never been like so firm and confident in doing that before.
Would right? you have let them continue to lie or would you, and just creeped away from them or?
The old me, like before I started like my channel and everything like that. Yes. The old me would have let them get away with it and try to be amenable or try to be like, okay, well maybe this or maybe that. And like, and try to work in the unknown question mark limbo space that they try to put you in. Right. And also being on the spectrum, like that had come with a lot of other, like, how do I say this? came with a lot of other blocks as far as like trying to read people. Cause it's funny. Cause it's like, I'm intuitive, but I also just three-dimensionally can't read body language and stuff like that. So if someone was lying to me in a very subtle way, intuitively I might know, but then my codependency would override that anyway.
And then interesting.
And at the same time, it's like I can't read the body cues regardless. So that was always a really hard thing for me to do. And I'm still learning, absolutely still learning in that arena. But yeah, like being firm with people and like not being obligated to them and calling them out on their bullshit. I like that.
Yeah.
No, it feels pretty damn good.
I can't believe how vulnerable I am and how much power is in that vulnerability where before I had up like walls, but I just had like one strong gate. And if you got past that gate, then I had no boundaries whatsoever.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And my like twin flame, whatever, like the relationship that brought all of this to the forefront for me to explore was interesting because this wasn't a liar. This wasn't a manipulator. This was just a really good friend who also was a people pleaser and also didn't have great boundaries and did a bunch of things for me that he didn't want to do. And that was a very difficult body language for, like, that was a difficult thing for me to read. It was an energy I hadn't encountered before.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, this feels like love, but then we get too close and you close off. And like, so it was perfect in that it maxed out my codependency. But in the end, it just ended up being, oh, this was a people pleaser that was doing things for me he didn't want to do. And then I would sense his discomfort and perceive his discomfort as rejection. And so then he would bury his feelings more and try to give me more. So it ended up in a strange thing where, you know, he like wasn't a bad guy, which like him being a bad guy never resonated.
Yeah.
It never resonated. So it made it even more confusing, but it was a great place to learn about my codependency, learn about my reaction. It was still confusing. And like, if I could go back now, Jessa 2.0, which is like, he's great. You love him. He loves you on some level. He's not available or interested in being there in the capacity that you need. Like, I know that it's about me now. I have like, I need someone that wants to be there, who's 100% ready to be there, who can have clear communication, who I can say, like, I have this damaged attachment system, hypervigilant attachment system from my childhood. I've learned a lot of tools and language, but like, if that sounds like a huge pain in the ass, which it is, we don't need to do this. And that's it. And I'm fine by myself until we are ready to do that. I do want to segue for a second before we talk about liberation codes. I get a lot of people in readings that are like, I think I'm a vampire. I think I'm a narcissist, whatever. This relationship that I'm talking about, if you listen to my other podcast, you know what relationship I'm talking about. As we've worked through all of this stuff, my trauma and my completely not knowing who I was. If you listen to the beginning of this podcast, that podcast, I have like no feelings, and he's upset about his divorce, and I'm like pontificating on why he needs to get over it. And I'm talking shit about people with anxious attachment styles, and I believe myself to be aloof and detached, and I believe all these things because I have massive repressed memories, or not, well, that too, massive repressed emotions. I could not feel my feelings. I was awake, because other people were like, I don't know, so-and-so is awake, or if they are a vampire. You can be both.
Yeah.
If you're not in a process of healing and moving out of these behaviors, you're not going to stay awake. You know, you're going to be someone who has knowledge and not understanding. But I ended up becoming this person's vampire. This person became imprisoned by my trauma, by my meltdowns. You know, I feel like maybe we make it sound worse than it was. But there was just a lot of like, falling in love turned into like a deep sorrow for me. And I didn't understand why. And I was just upset all the time. I was miserable. And he bent over backwards to try to make me feel better because I projected it all onto him. And, you know, I came out of an abusive relationship and didn't know that I had been in an abusive relationship. He had come out of, you know, a rough thing and didn't, like, neither one of us really had a good idea of what had happened in the past.
Yeah.
And you have to listen to that podcast if you want all the juicy details. Mm-hmm. But I was his vampire. I was. And we are sorting through that now. And I just have to apologize profusely. There are things that pop up in my head every day that I'm like, ah, oh, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I would cross his boundaries and then he would recoil because I had crossed his boundaries because he needed space and I wouldn't let him have his space. And we lived in different states. It's mostly via text, but like, and then my feelings would get hurt. And then he would do whatever it was that I wanted because my feelings got hurt and everything else. And this is all the while I have a podcast with him where people are like, oh my God, Jessa's so smart. He's so lucky to have Jessa. And I can't imagine what that was like for him. It must have been fucking awful. And I was absolutely his vampire and I didn't know it. And I didn't know I was codependent. I didn't know what was happening. I really did believe at the time that he was fucking with me.
Yeah.
Because I had been fucked with. I've been fucked with a lot in my life. I was like unearthing a ton of trauma. That podcast of talking about our trauma constantly didn't help. And as I found out what happened, as I found out about who I really am, when I found out I'm codependent, when I found out that the way that I perceive what's happening isn't accurate, it's traumatic reenactment, it's projecting. I started to heal those wounds and I started to really realize and see things for what they were. And now I care about that friendship. I care about that person. And, you know, I just kind of have to be here. I have to change my behavior. I have to let him take his power back. And I have to, I'm pretty regularly acknowledging like, God, this is fucked up. This is fucked up. I'm sorry. And that's the difference between, a pathological narcissist who's never going to get better. And you're just a normal human being whose trauma causes you to act like the people that traumatized you, and you're getting better. If you're worried about whether or not you're the bad guy, you're probably not the bad guy. Do I have massive guilt and shame about this? Yes. It's really, really hard to think that the person I loved more than anyone in the world got the absolute worst version of me. It sucks. I wanted nothing in the world other than to be the best person he'd ever had in his life. And instead, I was just a 24/7 nightmare to deal with. And it's sad because most people are like, Jess is great. And it's like, yeah, it's because you don't know me. if you had to deal with me all the time, you would know I'm as big of a pain in the ass as the rest of you. But I was somebody's vampire. And that's really the kind of the energy that we're in right now is we're learning how to connect to each other in a way that is not codependent.
Healthy.
And
yeah.
Is healthy. And just in as much as I am learning to set boundaries for dudes on dating apps and family members and fucking people that make shitty t-shirts, I'm also learning to respect the boundaries of people that I care about. And it is, it's a beautiful process that we are, you know, I feel honored to be a part of this. I feel honored to be a part of the transmutation of codependency into love and you know, it's exciting and it's fun. And I think I'm putting this out there, A, because if you are a fan of that podcast, you should know what he was dealing with behind the scenes. And one day the guilt and shame will maybe subside and I won't feel like I need to bring it up all the time. But if you only listen to this podcast, I also want you to know that I too am a vampire. Like we weren't raised to be good at exchanging energy, and we are just now learning it.
Yeah. And I agree with that for sure.
That is the work right now, is learning this. And if you have been guilty of being other people's vampire, the beauty of it is you get to heal and change your behavior. And then how fucking beautiful is that to have once been a vampire in someone's life and then to change, you get to change your behavior, you know, for the people that are still in your life that haven't blocked you. He hasn't blocked me yet. Thank God we have a podcast together.
Well, and it's true with, you know, with codependency, especially because it is the flip side of narcissism, right? So right. It's like, it only makes sense that there's vampiristic characteristics of in both sides of that coin.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It has a lot of the same qualities, you know, in that I think it has the same effect on the person who's on the receiving end of it. It's just, it feels like it's a deeply emotional. It was so painful for me. I was in so much pain, and energetically, it's just like I was on, it felt like I was screaming, writhing on the floor in pain and just like pulling his pant leg and just like begging him to make it stop, like make the pain stop, because he activated it just because I fell in love with him. I fell in love with him. He wasn't in love with me, and that's all it took, you know? And then I think, but he did love me. He cared about me. And so he was around trying to just love me through it. And it was just kind of the perfect storm for me. I feel like I'm less susceptible to a narcissist, and I'm not tempting you, universe.
Keep that shit at bay.
I don't feel, I haven't had a lot of narcissists in, like, me and narcissists don't get along. There is something about my own tendencies that make it difficult for a narcissist, I think, to get close to me. I think because love bombing would freak me the fuck out.
Oh, that's okay. That's a good point.
So that's not a good way to get close to me, because if you like come at me with energy, I get freaked out. I think the only, like, it's beautiful that this relationship like triggered all this stuff. It would be difficult to trigger this for me because I could clearly see that this was a, like, a beautiful soul that loved me and cared for me very deeply.
Yeah.
And, like, so I got triggered by his very honest, like, I don't want what you want, you know?
Yeah.
And I tricked myself. Like, that's the thing that I'm learning is, like, stop tricking yourself. Like, I used to be like, oh, you'll learn to love me, or, you know.
Or he does. He does love me.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he does. Yeah. I'll kid myself. Yeah. And now I'm like, nope, plain English. We are signing contracts right now. Plain English. And so now, not that I've dealt with fuckboys, but this is doing a great job of keeping the fuckboys away, because I'm like, here's what I need. And I know that this is what I need. If you are on the fence kind of person, if you're going to change your mind, you get one back and forth with me. If you go back and forth and then you go back again, that's it. You're done. Because I'm not going back to that place.
Yeah.
You know, I went to that place so that I could learn about that place. And then it's not happening again. But I think that this ushers in an age of honesty in dating, because so many of us are clearing this codependency.
Yes, exactly. And the liberation codes, at least for me, are a big part of that.
Yeah. Can you talk about that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. And I know these liberation codes are connected to the collective, feminine collective specifically. These codes, Adriana, I'm sure she'll listen to this. So as you guys know, I get codes from time to time, which comes with upgrades from time to time. And with these liberation codes, I know that there were other people who received them. Not a whole lot of people received them. They're kind of intense. Like, we always have programming from society and other things. This kind of programming is very, very, very deep programming that has been running for a very long time, like way beyond just this current life that we're in. It's like, it's very much embedded to the point where, you know, even for people like us who are so aware of our own shit and check ourselves, it runs so much deeper than that. So when I received this liberation code, it sent me into such like a dark energy. And dark energy is not bad, guys. It's not bad. It's very useful to get rid of shit like this. Like, it's very intense. It's very, very positive when you're trying to work through your shit and healing and trying to destroy programmings that you have or different dynamics that you've inherited and whatnot. So if you're going in dark energy, don't be scared. Just just do your work. So I went into this very, very deep dark energy to the point where I didn't want to leave the house. Like, I couldn't talk to people. I was like, oh, I have to sit with this shit. Like, I have to really sit with this shit. And it started bringing up things that I had always examined and like, okay, yeah, narcissistic stuff, codependency stuff, insecurity stuff, anxiety, blah, 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 blah. And it took me deeper than that. And it was like, oh shit. It was, it was like, okay, I guess we're going there. And to the core root of codependency for me anyway, and it is different for everybody. I know the people who receive these liberation codes is unique to them and their specific traumas and embedded programming that they've carried on from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime. And the big one for me within my codependency was never believing that I'm cared about or loved. Like, that was the big, big root of it.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, oh shit. Okay. And I started thinking about every time I've ever felt that way, which has always been. Like, at least in this life, it's always been. So I know it's been in my other lives that no matter what someone would say or do, I would never believe they actually cared or I'd never believe they actually loved me.
And, interesting.
Yeah. And I was like, and when I realized that, I was like, that was a big purge. That brought out a big purge. And I realized within this life, even though I've always had that, that it's been exacerbated in traumatic ways through my relationships, like family, loved ones, narcissists, all, especially narcissists, like really, really made that wound even worse and really made that programming very cemented. And it would come out in little tiny ways. And so that's actually what I've been working through with the liberation codes. And as I'm working through that, it's disintegrating a lot of that stuff. And it's so interesting because a lot of that programming sits in our solars and our sacrals relating to feminine energies. And as I've been working with this code, I think I was even telling you, it's like, I'm like eating like a horse. Like, I can't, I'm like so hungry because all this energy that I've been carrying with me through all these different lives and experiences has taken up so much space that now my body's like, where's everything going? Like, like something is missing. Something's missing. You need to eat or something. Yeah. Something's missing. And now I'm in that phase of like getting out of that hunger to where I'm almost like not eating at all, like fasting in a way.
Yeah.
Still kind of craving food a little bit because it's like, you know, food's food. And then with the sacral purging, not to get too TMI, but like with my cycle, the second I got the liberation codes, my cycle like started like way early.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And this was like one of the worst ones I've had in a long time, like feeling nauseous, feeling dizzy. And I know it's just purging a lot of that old shit that's so deeply embedded in feminine energies and running in codependency and toxic feminine energies of being enslaved to more patriarchal masculine energies.
Right.
And all of that's being disintegrated within myself. But the longer I work with this liberation code, I know it's also affecting the feminine collective as well. So I'll get hit with mass amounts of energy, and it takes a lot of energy, physical energy, to work with these codes. I've worked with other codes in the past where it's like, all right, I might need to take a day or here or there, or whatever. I've had to like practically go into serious physical hibernation like a freaking bear, like sleeping all night. And then I wake up and I'm just getting so drained of energy from working with it still in my waking state that I'll have to lay down because it's just a lot of energy running through me, or have to sleep again. And then like late afternoon, early evening, I'll be up and I'll be wired, but then I know I got a few hours till I'm down again. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very, very energy intensive to work with this kind of code because it's dismantling such deeply, deeply rooted shit for myself and the feminine collective as well. But it is in regards to liberating more of that deeply rooted codependency stuff.
Interesting. I'm thinking about the timing of this consciousness evolution tarot.
Oh, I love her.
I think did this great video on the masculine and feminine. At I think I sent it to you. It was in like September, I think.
It was October 4th to the 8th, right? Because yeah. Mars and Venus would be Libra together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they separated. And that has resonated with me so much, as far as it feels like there is a, and I don't know when they come back together, December, there is a because it's like the feminine energy has been following the masculine energy.
Right.
If you count Venus as feminine and Mars as masculine, then they were together for a few minutes in like last week.
Yeah. Oh shit. That was just last week, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then the feminine took off, and energetically that has felt so accurate that there is a separation in like the twin flame collective and stuff, where there is a separation between the masculine and feminine, not for everybody, but for a lot. It feels like the feminine is like taking off. You know what I mean? Like running full speed on her own. And I like that Nine of Pentacles energy we've all been trying to master. I feel more tapped into that than I have felt in a long time, which is weird because I'm dating, but I can't even articulate. I'm not dating. I'm fucking around on apps. I also have a chest infection and can't leave my house, and I'm very bored, and I live in a bathtub. But I've never, I feel so independent right now. I feel so like powerful and very free from codependency. And it's interesting to kind of like dip my toe out, and because codependency, it's such, the imagery of codependency in tarot is so interesting to look at these, this beautiful masculine and feminine in the lovers, and then see them just chained by the neck the devil in the devil card. You know, they're chained by the neck. They're the grossest version of themselves, which is exactly what I am when I'm codependently activated. I go from being the spiritual, you know, powerful, thoughtful, individual to being a fucking monster that can't get enough. You know how the devil's all like fat in that imagery? I'm not sure if I'm thinking the spellcasters.
No, I was about to say spellcasters when I saw that devil card. I was like, oh, that's a devil card.
Yeah. And it's like enslaved. Like we're like just trapped in the worst version of ourselves. And so I think that the collective has hacked codependency. And I think we will see I think that's what this summer was about. I think that's what all that fucking pain was about. I think that's what all that ancestral clearing, all of that, like, why am I crying over my ex from college? Like, I think we did it.
Yeah.
And I think by next summer, we are going to see that we hacked, we changed it. And people, because what happens and my understanding is that when 100,000 light workers, 100,000 people, and I don't, that's a number I'm throwing out. I was going to say 144,000, but I didn't want to be too on the nose. But when a certain amount of people hack an old paradigm, it then just becomes an easy thing for people to move out of, where maybe codependency was a life sentence in the past that you never got free from. And it just plagued your life forever. And then people became aware of it. And there was a wave of people who became aware of it. And in their awareness, they started to make it easier for the next collective to come in, become aware of it, and start to make changes. And then you got people who come in to start to make changes and they get set free. And then you get those people, you know, and it snowballs to where now, maybe codependency is like the result of trauma. It's also the result of you listen to love songs. They're so fucking codependent.
Yeah.
Movies glamorize codependent love.
Well, and actually I was just thinking about just human history, right? If you think about it, we've always had to be codependent on each other to survive.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? As far as we've existed until we became so advanced to the point where we don't really need people, but then it's like, we don't need people, but we're still programmed to need people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is kind of connected to this need to survive, right? Like I will die if I lose this connection. I did read some stuff about codependency and that. Interdependency, it's been coming up a lot. Has that been coming up? That word been coming up a lot?
Oh yeah, that's been coming up more and more often, especially in the last few months. And it's funny that you brought up Mars and Venus, because I totally forgotten about that working with this code, and was like, oh, that does make sense. That makes a hell of a lot of sense. Just liberating the feminine from codependency and the masculine energy. So yeah, no, I'm just amazed how that lined up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, interdependency. Yeah, that's been coming up a lot. I think there's a lot of value in interdependency. And I think that people who are more ahead of the curve with dealing with their codependency and releasing themselves from that are experiencing that right now. And like you were saying, huh?
Just kidding. How codependent of me.
Well, with interdependency, it takes two independent people, right?
Yeah.
It does take two to tango with interdependency. Can't do that alone. But what was I? Oh, that's totally sidetracked.
Sorry
for a second. No, that's okay.
There are people
okay.
that are experiencing it right now.
Oh, yeah. I think people who are ahead of the curve with releasing that codependency stuff are experiencing that now. But I do think that, like you were saying, with waves, right?
Yeah.
It's like it's all going to happen in waves and waves and waves until it becomes the norm.
Right.
Yeah. And as far as what I've seen in online dating, I don't think a lot of people are there yet.
Yeah. I was just like, as we're talking, I'm like, I'm going to change my bio to where my interdependent dudes at, you know? I think a lot about, and I'm sure I said this on our last podcast, but I think my brain does a lot of microcosmic, macrocosmic pattern, looking for patterns, like what represents what represents what represents what.
Yeah.
And I think a lot about the dance of the masculine and feminine in what we would have called the twin flame thing. I haven't done a twin flame update on this podcast yet, but basically y'all got pranked. I don't know. I think it was a school we were going to, and a lot of people are graduating. But anyway, but the dance between the masculine and feminine energies in that twin flame collective reminded me of the dance, because we're going from the age of Pisces, which is a masculine age, right?
Yeah.
Into the age of Aquarius, which is a feminine age. And these two things are dancing with each other. And you see the new world and the old world dancing with each other. And the feminine age is like, I'm going to chop you up into pieces and eat you for what you did to me. And the masculine age is like, I feel like you're going to chop me up in pieces. You know, the masculine age is recoiling. And you see this when there's like huge amounts of progress. And then Trump gets elected, you know, it's like, it's this dance that's very similar. And I think a lot about the masculine yielding to the feminine and the feminine learning to, because I do think that the feminine age is going to be a lot less of the feminine age and more of a collective age, where the masculine age was just kind of you guys being dicks. I mean, if I'm being honest, you weren't very nice to us, you know? We're going to end up being nice to you.
Yeah.
But we're in this magnetics thing right now. But Venus taking off and doing her own thing for a little bit and kind of like finishing out her healing and leaving the masculine behind, as opposed to following, because the feminine right. age had been following the masculine. And that was a really interesting thing that we brought into this new age. As progressive as women became and everything else, there still was a lot of feminine chasing masculine.
Yeah, a lot of that.
And that's that old dynamic that we had where the masculine is elusive. And that you can see that in dating. You can also see that literally in the age where the feminine is like, could you just stop making abort, you know, like stop fucking with my reproductive system.
Yeah.
I'm tired of asking you for shit. I'm tired of pursuing you. I don't want to do this. And so Venus had been chasing Mars for however long. And I think this is very symbolic that right now Venus is like, you know what would stop me from chasing you? If I just took off.
Yeah. If I just surpassed you.
I just left you here.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that does for the masculine, because I'm honestly done fucking thinking about what the masculine is doing. But I bet the masculine gets a minute to be like,
oh, I think
I'm tired of running. You know,
yeah.
I'm tired of, I'd rather just go stand next to this dumb bitch.
I think they're all sitting down right now, to be honest. I feel like masculine energy is in like hangman hermit mode. They're just sitting.
Yeah.
They're sitting with their thoughts. How long they'll sit there, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe until 2020 or December.
Which is also when they come back into the same sign, I think.
I think you're right. I have to double check that, because when you said that, I was like, oh shit. Like, let me think about that like for a hot minute. Because Venus is in Scorpio, then it goes to Sag, Mars. Yeah, I'd have to check. I'd have to really check.
I think it is, because I feel so much change between December and February, just in life, period.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of change. And I know we talked about Jupiter going to Capricorn, but then I remembered Pluto was retrograding in Capricorn from like half the year, and then that went direct in September. But Pluto's all about destruction, right? Dismantling all that shit. That with Capricorn, and Jupiter is about to gift what's been destroyed as you were mentioning
before.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm always surprised. I'm always like, oh, shit, I'm not full of shit. Very excited about moving forward. I do think 20 and 21 are a lot about mastering interdependence. To me, it feels like as much as I would like to settle down with a man or woman and kind of nest is what I want to do, you know, I feel like we probably end up with a series of like short-term connections while we calibrate what connection looks like moving forward on Earth. I think that's a big part of our work as well.
I think you're probably right, because I was just thinking about the numerology of it. Because 2020, excuse me, 2020.
Sorry, I feel like every time I do it, you do it.
No, it's okay. Energetically, I'm sure it's exactly what's happening. Because 2020, it is going to be a year of stability. They're also calling it the year of karma and judgment day. And I've talked about the judgment day energies leading into 2020. But I do feel like you're right. 2020 is going to bring a lot of people together and a lot more aligned. But then 2021 is going to be a lot of change because it's a five. It's going to be a lot of change. But then 2022 is going to be that harmony. Right. So it's like, I think you're right. It's like, it's kind of like just the new big cycle of cycles.
Yeah.
It's the new big, you know, new book, the first chapter. Then shit's going to get rocky and interesting and change up a lot. And we're going to have to acclimate. Then we'll acclimate and then start to settle back into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've seen the worst of it. Do you agree with that? Maybe just our wave.
Yeah, I was gonna say, for us, I think we have. I think for people who are just kind of coming into it, like the more like new waivers, I think 2023 is gonna be a little rocky for them.
Okay.
A little bit. 2024, I'm excited for 2024, even though it's really far away.
God, I can't even conceive. Maybe I die in 2021. Also, the aliens only talk to me about up to 8D, even though I know it goes further than that. So I don't know if that's just like when I get my severance package and I get to go back to whatever Sirian reptilian star system I came from. But I want to talk a little bit about Judgment Day energies real quick. But it's funny, in July, when that 5D download, like the big 5D download came in between those eclipses, we weren't friends yet. So it was a huge influx of crazy 5D energy that like flipped the script for a ton of people. And
that's when things started popping off with my 2.0.
Oh, really?
Yeah, started.
It was like the week I started doing readings, and like I have like cards dedicated to the 5D download and stuff. And it was like everybody was getting all these new like powers and everything else. I get a headache every time I think about it. But for a minute there, and we were having earthquakes like crazy that week.
Yes, I remember that.
And for a minute there, I was like, there's definitely a split coming. And I was getting lots of messages about rapture split, like whatever. And I always get excited like something super supernatural is going to happen, even though my life is very supernatural. So anyway, for a minute and on a couple episodes of Soberish, I was like, I try not to make predictions because I know that this shit, there's twists and turns. And
oh, yeah.
Even the twin flame thing, I'm like, it is this, I think, but I bet I'm being pranked. You know?
Yeah.
Thought there was going to be, like, I could feel a split coming. And then now I believe the split is happening, like, as we speak. And it's really just kind of a find your tribe and get with them for a minute kind of energy. And I bet everyone comes to the new world, like everyone that doesn't decide to die. I do think there'll be a lot of like people that want to go do karma elsewhere, so they physically die. But I bet it's all fucking boomers and shit. I did boomers that are waking up in 24 hours right now.
Yeah.
But the split is like a perception, you know, which is already a thing. There's already like entire states of people that I'm like, wow, you live in what reality? You know?
Yeah, no, that's
true. That's a lot of the reason that these connections have to go that don't fit, that aren't like energetically synced up, because there is a split that's happening. But it's not going to be them getting physically shoved off the planet as I had hoped.
Well, and it's interesting you mentioned July with the split, and then upcoming, you feel like this is the split happening now. So those earthquakes, like an aspect that was associated with that was a Uranus aspect. And there's a Uranus aspect happening with the new moon in Scorpio on the 27th. That's very similar, very volatile, earthquake related as well. And also just, it's going to shake a lot of shit up. And like the way I've been describing it to people is like, every day is going to be different. During those first 2 weeks of November, every day is going to feel different. A lot of sudden events, a lot of tower moments, a lot of volatility. Ooh. So yeah, it's going to get really interesting.
God, I thought November was going to be chill.
I was hoping so too. I think it's going to be, I think the first 2 weeks, I think it's going to be kind of exciting to have all these sudden changes.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are thinking, oh no, it's going to be terrifying and horrible. I'm like, no, it's actually, you get to wake up and have a very different experience every day. That's very exciting. And then the last half of November is going to be more mellow because there's a lot more water aspects happening. So there's going to be a lot more compassionate stuff going on. Oh, the miscommunication is going to be a little high. I think November is going to be fine. I think November is going to be exciting coming in, and then it's going to hit a nice little lull. And then December is where a lot of nice, great, big things are going to be happening.
Is this the year that we pick a president? I'm probably going to have to edit this out.
2020.
Next year.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, they're talking about it an awful lot for it not to be close. Okay.
Oh, I'm sure people are excited to just have something else. Yeah. Yeah.
Is this the year that we... get an earthquake to eat our current president? I think whatever parasites are in his brain are going to do the trick for us. Man, he's a mess. God, I could talk for hours, but we're at an hour and 43 minutes. Judgment Day energies. Can you talk about that for a second?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Judgment Day energies. So that has to do with all the Capricorn stuff we've been experiencing this year, because Capricorn and Cancer are doing that dance with the North Node, South Node of the Moon, which is all associated with karma.
Right.
And so we've had Pluto retrograding in Capricorn, and that went direct, and we felt a huge push in that arena of karma. So for anybody who wasn't doing their work and shit this year, basically you're going to get what you deserve according to the work you did do or didn't do. Saturn is also doing its thing with Capricorn. And then we have Jupiter going into Capricorn, which is basically the gift or devoid of gift for those who didn't do the work.
Wow.
So that's also why, like, I'm calling it Judgment Day energy, because now we're kind of still in the middle of it where we're getting a lot of our rewards, but at the same time, it's like, it's all about being dismantled because Pluto was retrograding in Capricorn. So it's getting rid of all the shit that we've feeling like we've been stuck with for a long time, and all things we feel like have been very unfair. And we're seeing that a lot in families because it's Capricorn energy. So we're seeing that in like patriarchal governmental bodies. We're seeing that globally. It's like the dismantling of that. So as we get, it's very fascinating. So as we get towards the end of the year and into 2020, because I think we're having another eclipse in January, if I'm not mistaken, but like at the end of the year on the 29th, I think, I could be wrong about the date, that last eclipse is in Capricorn, and we're going to see another big push of karma kind of coming in and taking over and really just dishing out what people deserve.
Damn.
Yeah. So everyone who's ever done you wrong.
Gonna get theirs.
Pretty much.
Interesting, all this Capricorn stuff, because Capricorn energy is the devil card, which is the codependency card also, right?
Yeah.
So that's interesting that that's a lot of what we've been working through.
Yeah. And also like 3D materials and carnal stuff, all of that. All of that.
Wow. Well, now, very grateful to have spent the summer crying in a bathtub. Now I feel like, okay, well, I did the work, so I'm good.
Yeah, it's like, I cried a lot this year, so I think I'm okay.
This is pretty much a mass graduation from karma, period, right? Like, karma is the old game. We're going into the new game, right? I get that a lot in a lot of people's readings, and like a lot of like why the past life stuff is coming up is like, we're graduating from karma. Is 2020 a marker of a big mass graduation from that? Do you think, does that have a lot to do with the Judgment Day stuff, or?
Yes. Oh, excuse me.
I've been making many noises into this.
Yes, it is. Especially because like 2020, it's also that synchronistic number as well. But it is the year where people who have done the work and elevated themselves are going to be enjoying that new world, that new earth, and people who haven't been able to are just going to kind of fall off. Right. So in a way, it's like you're in it or you're not. You're with the game or you're not. Excuse me. And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, who haven't done that work, they're not going to enjoy 2020 as much, and more of that big, massive Judgment Day energy along with that. Plus, I mean, when you think about it, it's like we start the year in Capricorn energy. And I just realized that actually as I'm sitting here thinking about it. So as we go into Judgment Day, like the big final quote-unquote Judgment Day, I'm not talking apocalypse, people. Yeah. We're beyond that. I think we're going to see even more timeline changes to get us there as well. And I think we're also going to experience a lot more advancement with the new wave of people who are awake. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah.
I really like where I'm at today, which, you know, changes pretty quickly, but I'm excited about the ability, because I don't feel like we're going to be in this, we've been ascending for, you know, 1 or 2 years, some of us, and we've been in the pressure cooker of it for like the last 6 months. You know, that varies for different people, but like it has been like, it's a daily fucking thing. I feel like we're going to come out of some of this like hyper energetic stuff. It's not going to be as intense in 20. I feel like the summer of 2020, we start to like, okay, now we're just anchoring, right? And the idea of just collaborating with other soul family people and being like, all right, how do we change this world? How do we overthrow this government? You know, how do we take away the power? Like this is, and I talk about this all the time. Like I do have a deep need to help people. I do, like, it does bring something to me. Fame was weird in that a bunch of people thinking I was funny or hot or whatever didn't like scratch an itch for me.
Yeah.
But having someone message me and say like, I was going to commit suicide, and then I heard you on a podcast, like that does, I feel like, okay, I did something, you know?
Yeah.
But, as much as that makes me feel good, what really makes me feel good is the idea of destroying the old world, tearing down the elite and kicking them off of their thrones and, starving them of their narcissistic feed. I do have a very Aquarius, rebellious, like that humanitarian rebellious, like paradox there, because it's like, I do want to overthrow the government. I don't know how tapped my podcast feed is, because I mention overthrowing the government an awful lot, but I want to kill the old world. And we can't do that by fighting it, because it just creates a pendulum. We do that by creating a new world where we don't need them or their dumb fucking rules.
Right.
And that's really what I want to do. I want to take power away from money by using it to even level the playing field. I want to find a way to teach people who have been oppressed their entire life how to use their minds to get out of the oppression that they were hypnotized into.
Yeah.
I want to find a way to make healthcare that actually works available to people who are just on a hamster wheel of trying to figure out how to get insurance. They're working jobs they hate so they can get insurance to get medicine that doesn't work, you know, whatever. Yeah. I'm not anti-medicine, but what if somebody told you how to balance your energy? And what if someone told you how to figure out what foods you're sensitive to? And what if, you know, what if you could get the mental health care that you needed? Then that mental health care was a therapist tricking you into waking up. I don't know. I'm spitballing here, but I like the idea of gathering together with other like-minded people, and like, this person's good with money, this person's good with technology, this person's good with spiritual, like, let's get together, let's pool our resources, and let's set the rest of ourselves free. And like that, when I think of 20 and 2021, like that's the shit. Like we did our work, like let the rest of these people cry. It's their turn to cry in a bathtub.
Yeah.
But let's find a way to help them, and let's find a way to support the next wave. And let's get this fucking show on the road, because I'm quite tired of the old world. You know, I took this job when I was 23, and it's like now I'm 42, and I'm like, let's go. Chop, chop. Chop, chop. I might want to have another kid. I'm almost barren. Let's go. Anyway, that's the kind of shit like I'm starting to get back. And this is all I thought about. All I thought, because this was, I woke up in 2000, and then the planes hit the towers, and I was like, we have to overthrow the government, guys. And it's all I talked about was like, we have to heal, we have to unite, and we have to get out from underneath this, because otherwise it's headed somewhere. You know, there is a timeline that exists that we end up with cameras everywhere and chips in us and every other fucking thing. Let's get the fuck off of that timeline. Anyway, that's, I'm insane. Speaking of timelines, and then we'll be done. We'll close this at right at 2 hours. timelines, right? It's a movie where I wake up every day and I'm like, all right, what reality am I in today?
Oh, yeah. Like every time I'm so happy I started keeping my journal like right there with me every time I wake up and write shit down. It's just like every time I go to sleep, sometimes not even if I go to sleep, but like I'll wake up and it's like, oh, shit's different again.
Yep. Does your body change?
Yes, it does. And I know that you and I have talked about that a little bit. And it's funny because, you know, going through like working with the liberation codes, my body was in like the more of like the OG model where it's like having to eat a lot, having to sleep a lot because of using so much energy and like noticing like I was back in it. And it's like, all right, I don't love that, but that's okay. It is what it is.
I'm sure I'll get the other one back.
Yeah. And today I've noticed like I woke up and I was like, oh, here we go. I'm going back into it. And even just looking at my face, it's amazing the facial differences.
Yeah. It is. It's remarkable. It gives me hope because of all of the promises, you know, they got right on that gender thing.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, all right, well, where's the part where I don't age? You know, like, excuse me. I would like to cash in this warranty on this body. I was told that it wouldn't age, and that is not true.
Yeah, like if you guys don't believe us, actually, I can tell you in my videos, I can see the difference. So like, for example, I'm trying to remember what sign it was. I was wearing the pink shirt. It was when I was wearing the pink shirt. The most recent one I was wearing the pink shirt. That was more the OG. And the most recent one I did, Pisces, that's like more closer to the beta version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What an idiot. I should just take pictures. You know what I do is I don't get around a camera when I am the when I have the old body. If you see me rapid fire posting Instagram stories, it's because I've got the
the new body.
Yep, I'm flossing that. Because I read somewhere that in like alien civilizations, they age to 35 and then that's it, which is really your peak body.
Yeah.
It is when the people are hot in their early 20s and stuff, but they look like babies in the faces, you know?
Yeah.
And 35 is really when you peak, and it is pretty quickly downhill from there. And so, yeah, I'm like, give me my 35-year-old shit back, you know?
Yeah.
Just for me, that's just like 25-year-old stretch marks, but 15-year-old stretch marks?
I think it's like, stretch marks when I was
10. I'm not good at math. You're the math one. All right. Where can people find you?
Oh, you guys can find me on YouTube, BitChute, Vimeo, Patreon, All Water Baby Tarot. And for social media, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, mostly Instagram.
How's BitChute going?
I need to check on that. I'll be very honest. I need to check. Because with BitChute, you can actually connect it to your YouTube channel. So when you post on YouTube, it automatically posts to BitChute.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so you don't have to look at it, but I need to look at it.
Yeah.
last I checked, it was like maybe a month ago. I think I had like 50 subs on there. So it's still slowly growing. They need more people to check them out. But definitely check them out, guys, if you're not a fan of censorship.
Yeah, because we got to get... I do believe that the new world is happening on the internet, but we have to make sure that we are taking it. If there are opportunities to take it to places that are not owned by the old world, that is most ideal.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because censorship is bullshit. I started the Alien School YouTube channel, just Alien School, but then I put Jessa Reed in parentheses while I work on burying that old Alien School channel. How I'm like, I want to help humanity connect. Fuck everybody who uses my name. if you want a reading, this is a good time to get a reading because there was something wrong with my website. I was like, why do I not have anything booked for this week?
Oh, the interfering energies are so insane right now.
And then I click on it and it's not letting anyone book for the next 2 weeks. So I had to fuck with it for like 10 hours yesterday. And I'm like, now, and I was already like gone at a comedy festival. So.
Well, and it's weird too, the way they come. We're having shenanigans over here. Don't mind us.
Like hold this. I don't want to give up this lozenge, this sliver of a lozenge that I've been nursing through this entire podcast. And I'm just flipping my headphones off my head. Anyway.
But the interfering energies, they've been so insane. I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous. Like every day I'm noticing like glitches here and there. And I know it's not Mercury retrograde because I know it's not that bad
yet.
And everyone's like, oh, Mercury retrograde's early. No, it's interfering energies. It's not Mercury retrograde.
That's a very good point. Yeah. So the interfering energies didn't want anybody to get a reading. So I freed it up. There are slots available for the next 2 weeks. So if you want to book a reading at jessareed.com, Jessa Reed Comedy on Twitter and Instagram. You should follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Instagram is, you know, sweet, cute pictures of stuff, whatever. I post funny stories. And Twitter is where you get to watch me in the throes of depression and anxiety. That's just like my mental health journal. It's very dark. And by dark, I mean hilarious. My other podcast, Mormon and the Meth Head, if you haven't started that already, start at the beginning, especially if this codependency stuff, twin flame stuff, whatever resonates. It's a real journey. And upcoming dates. Aaron and I will be by myself in Lubbock, Texas, at an axe throwing place.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds so
I was
cool.
Like, it was at the comedy festival and we had an activity at an axe throwing place that day. And then I got an email from an axe throwing place. It was like, we want you to come do a show. And I was like, who's fucking with me?
That's so crazy. I've been wanting to do that forever. It's on my list.
I'm bad at it. So axe throwing place, I'm doing a comedy show in Lubbock, Texas. I'm going to run some jokes and I'm hopefully getting ready to make my own comedy special. And then the next night, so that's November 8th, November 9th, Aaron and I will be in Denver, Colorado at the Church of Cannabis, which is a very cool looking church. And then Sunday the 10th, I'm fucking these dates up, I'm sure. Look at the calendar. We'll be in Salt Lake City. And if you've come to our shows in Salt Lake City before, this is different. This is going to be us on stage together, probably. And then December 19th at the Creek in the Cave in the city. In New York, or I don't know if that counts as the city, whatever, whatever the fuck, Queens, I don't know what the fuck, it's Creek in the Cave, everybody knows what Creek in the Cave is, and then in December, I'm back on the East Coast for Christmas time, and I have a couple of dates, Philly and Maryland, and they'll all be on the website soon, but they're like the week of Christmas or whatever, and I think that's it. And we'll see you next week on Soberish. Do you want to say bye?
Bye, guys.